Welcome to The Bridge, your health, your voice, the official podcast for the University of Maryland, Baltimore School of Pharmacy Patients Program. The Patients Program is the bridge between the community and researchers. The Patients Program created this partnership to help researchers listen to the community's voice in order to build a bridge to an effective learning healthcare community. Here's your host, Rodney Elliott.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have the honor to speak with a friend, a colleague, Brian Gutierrez, who is a disability resource professional. He's a spina bifida and colorectal cancer advocate, patients professor graduate. He's participated in a couple patients professors breakout sessions as a leader or as a guest speaker. So Brian has actually been a key part of the patients program and the way we do community engagement, the way we do patient advisory, and his opinions and his expertise in this field is appreciated.
Thank you so much for the invite and can't wait to get things started. So I'm doing well despite everything that's been going on with the wildfires here in my home state of California. However, I am blessed just to be here and honored to be here with you today. So thank you so much for the invite.
Yes, Brian, and our prayers are with you and your family and friends and coworkers over there in the West Coast that have suffered from those wildfires. I, too, have had some friends that have suffered, and hopefully things can be on the mend soon out there. Yes, I forgot about that. That is really tough and challenging. So, again, thanks again for taking the time out today to talk to us here. Can you share with us your journey about being a patient? Then you was a patient professor graduate with us. You are an advocate, a presenter. Now, what motivated you to take on these different roles, and how has your partnership with us allowed you to grow? Again, you're now part of some of the boards, advisory committees. How has that involvement allowed you to grow in this space?
Well, thank you so much, Ronnie, for these questions. I do want to say that I remember a time when I was very young, around the age of 12 or 10 years of age, when my mom would manage my healthcare as someone with living experiences, as I was born with spina bifida, which is a neural tube defect where the spinal cord is not developed properly or correctly during the prenatal stages of pregnancy. My mom, however, encountered a language and culture barrier, as many doctors at the time didn't speak Spanish, which is her native language. The experiences that my mom went through really motivated me to advocate for my medical needs and encouraged me to understand more about my disability, as I'm still learning about spina bifida every single day as I continue to age and encounter new experiences with my health. As I got older, my disability allowed me to develop empathy while accepting my disability, as I had a hard time acknowledging that it would be part of my journey forever. While it did took me, you know, some time to fully embrace my disability, I did want to help others who are walking similarly in my shoes, and my experiences have really helped me become the patient advocate that I am today. What led me to the patients program was through the Spina Bifida Association, yep, where I serve on various committees. I remember an SBA staff member mentioned about the Patients Resource Academy. It really just sparked my interest to apply based on my lived experiences as a person with a disability. So I applied to the program, I got into the program, and from there, I just established a deep relationship with the patients program where the rest was just history. And right after I graduated from the Patients Resource Academy back in 2022, which is the inaugural program, right, of the academy, I was able to, from there, I was able to co-lead two seminars for the Patients Resource Academy, specifically on health equity, but my focus was more about disability and health equity. And I also, I believe I serve on the Patients Professors Academy Advisory Council as a partner of the Patients Program. And I do want to say that my lived experiences as a person with a disability really contributed to my decision to fully stay engaged with the PhD program right after I graduated from the academy, I do have to say that my involvement and work with the PhD program as a community patient partner really helped shape my leadership and advocacy skills in a way that I feel empowered to really share my voice and have a seat at the table in various committees to address health inequities in healthcare research for my community, because oftentimes many people with disabilities, especially adults with spina bifida, don't really have a seat at the table when it comes to healthcare research committees, where there's so much like planning, designing, and, you know, or even disseminating, right, research that really don't apply to the outcomes that our community wishes to see, because there's so much out there that needs to be done in order to improve a community. So I do want to say that the involvement, you know, me being with the PhD program as a partner really just helped shape my voice, right, in a way that I can be able to express and share with others. And that really was just, it's meaningful to me to be able to share that platform with others. That, and it's all about like community and engagement, right? Because that's what the PhD for Research Academy is about. It's community engagement. And I'm just happy that I was able to use that platform to be able to share what I learned in the academy and bring that to the table in various communities that I serve, especially with the Spina Bifida Association as a patient advocate.
This is the fourth year coming up. This 2025 is the fourth year for the Patient Professor Academy. And Brian was part of the inaugural group, as he mentioned earlier. And he talked about what happened during and after that. It was so interesting to him or compelling to him that he decided to continue his relationship with us beyond. And he then, next year, was actually a part of a panel and discussion. He talked also about sharpening his skills. When you talk about sharpening your skills, Brian, you know, I like to say adding something to your toolbox when it comes to advocacy and the work that you do. Can you share with us what specific skills or knowledge that you gain from your involvement working with the PPA, being an advocate for your community? And talk to us a little bit about what you gain through that involvement and how do they apply to your advocacy work. Elaborate on that a little bit more for us.
Thanks, Ronnie. So when I participated in the Academy just a few years ago, I remember one of the topics was about the meaning of engagement, but also active listening. I do have a background in counseling, so I was able to take some of the skills that I learned in my graduate program, you know, specifically towards active listening. And after I graduated from the Academy, I remember, you know, listening to a few adults with spina bifida who really were just frustrated with how everything has been going on with research and everything. Some people that I met along the way in my journey really encountered a lot of disparities or inequities in research. Some of them participated in research. However, none of the people that I met along the way, their voices wasn't really being heard or their expertise wasn't being considered in these advisory research advisory boards or committees. And so that kind of often misses an opportunity for a lot of researchers to contribute, but also to collaborate and, you know, with a lot of folks who have lived experiences or living experiences. And so that kind of creates more inequities, right, or disparities. And oftentimes, you know, a lot of the outcomes or expectations that research that researchers have do not fully align with the ones that, with the outcomes or goals of those with lived experiences or living experiences like myself. And so right after the Academy, as I mentioned before, I sit on various committees with the Spina Bifida Association, and I was able to just, you know, listen to people to hear the frustration and everything we know with research, as I mentioned. And oftentimes they wanted to see something new or something different, right? And oftentimes people, we know, especially in my case, really have trust issues because of their past experiences. You know, and like I said, researchers just come in with the agenda without including the expertise or lived experiences, you know, of the community that they're trying to engage with. And that is not true engagement. Engagement's all about, you know, partnering with, you know, with those with lived experiences to, you know, identify outcomes, right, that are really meaningful to them. That's engagement. Engagement really goes beyond that. It's about a partnership, an authentic partnership, to really to collaborate and work together, you know, to make something meaningful that would be substantial, but also something very, very impactful for a community, right? So that's engagement. And I remember, you know, speaking on that a little bit with the people that I met along the way, is that we always want to, you know, be empowered and share our voices. Unfortunately, though, not many that we work with in healthcare don't really have that same perspective. You know, we don't really feel empowered when it comes to, like, you know, managing our healthcare, right? Or what we want to see in our healthcare.
So, Brian, I want to stay right there for a little bit and ask this question, because you mentioned earlier in your intro when you first started talking about what brought you to the Patients Professions Academy or dealing with the patients program, and you talked about some of your early experiences growing up about how your mom, your primary caregiver, had some challenges because she didn't speak English very well, right?
Right.
And I met your mom, lovely, lovely lady, this summer at the Evening of Gratitude here this summer, or last summer, I should say. And when you talk about the perspective of active listening, when you talk about the perspective of someone being an advocate, I'm pretty sure your mom has some challenges early on, and maybe even now, you guys still have challenges now navigating your healthcare. What advice would you give to people from both sides, right? Talking about a patient and a community member, I mean, a patient and a caregiver, and then also some of this healthcare workers or researchers or doctors. What advice would you give for them to handle some of those challenges by using some of the experiences that you've learned dealing with the patients program or the PPA?
From a patient perspective, I would say just it's all about educating or education, right? Doctors or, you know, other healthcare providers, they may have experiences when it, or I should say knowledge or expertise on medication, right, or certain therapeutics. But we are the experts of our own lived experiences or living experiences. That is something that along the way that my mom, you know, was trying, like struggled, right, with educating what spina bifida really is, but also in a culturally way, because spina bifida impacts everybody, not just Hispanics, not just African-Americans, not just Asian-Americans or white Americans. It impacts everybody. It does not discriminate a certain, you know, community or population, right? So I will say it's really about educating others who may not be informed or fully informed about someone's lived experiences or living experiences, especially when it comes to spina bifida. I remember at the time when I was younger, my mom was having a hard time educating my healthcare doctors about not just spina bifida, but the way I live with spina bifida. It's very different from, you know, the way I live with spina bifida compared to someone who is Asian American or white American, right, or African American, right? Because there are definitely cultural differences that oftentimes doctors or healthcare researchers don't consider, and that's really often a missed opportunity, right? To really just to connect that relationship, right? And that's from my patient perspective. Is I continue to educate, you know, other people who may not be familiar with spina bifida or just the way that I live with spina bifida. That's something that my mom had taught me at a young age, is that it's all about educating other people, but also it's all about taking things into perspective, not letting yourself be out of control, right? Because, you know, oftentimes, you know, healthcare providers may have different opinions, right, than your opinions. But it's all about, you know, just informing others, right, about, your disability or lived experiences, like I said. And it's always about having these conversations that are meaningful that will lead to a better healthcare outcomes.
I've always understood your passion for not only wanting to learn information about your particular circumstances, but you're also first in line when it comes to advocating for folks as well that you may not know, right? That you may not have met yet. And when we talk about future goals and visions of the Patients Program, we're at a point right now where we are taking a special recipe of what we do and we're taking it national. But I got a question for you, Brian. What are some of your goals? What are some of your visions as it pertains to being in your role as the advocate in your community? How has what you've learned since you've been with us, again, back in the first Patient Professors Academy, what are your plans or what are some of your goals or your visions going forward?
I intend to continually advocate for individuals with spina bifida in the broader disabilities community, with a particular focus on improving healthcare access and outcomes. My goal is to continue to raise awareness about the unique challenges faced by those living with spina bifida, but also to push for more inclusive research that addresses their specific needs. I do plan to collaborate with healthcare professionals, even policymakers and researchers, to promote evidence-based patient-centered research outcomes and practices that enhance the quality of life for people with spina bifida and to ensure that the voices of those within the community are heard and valued. People with disabilities don't really have a seat at the table in RAB discussions or in planning, and this creates a lot of inequities. And addressing these barriers is really crucial for creating more inclusive research practices and ensuring that the voices of people with disabilities are heard in the development of new treatments and therapeutics based on research. I do want to say that, and this is that really recently, just almost a year ago, I was diagnosed with early stage colorectal cancer. And I remember my oncologist over at UCLA once told me that there's not enough research out there for treating patients with spina bifida for colorectal cancer treatment. And hearing these words from my oncologist really just blew my mind away. But it also refueled my purpose and my life mission. I am grateful to be in remission now, but I do plan to connect with colorectal cancer organizations and the Spina Bifida Association to work on improving healthcare outcomes for adults with spina bifida who have undergone colorectal cancer treatment or any cancer treatment. But I do want to say that it requires significant effort to initiate these conversations, but it is also crucial for improving the quality of life for individuals with spina bifida, as I mentioned before. You never know what the ingredients are missing in the community until someone or a group of individuals raises the alarm. At the end of the day, though, I do want to say that it is about patient-centered research outcomes, and it's critical for researchers to engage and collaborate with patients like me in the research process, as I mentioned before.
You added another feather to your cap. You've added another task, and that's very honorable of you. And again, you know, your work, your hard work isn't gone unnoticed as far as being a patient, being an advocate, and being a strong person who, no matter what they face, you're always up to bat. You're always ready to go to have a seat at that table, right? We talked about that earlier. That's one of the Patients Program's mottos as well, right? We want folks to have a seat at the table. And I have a question for you that's kind of going to help me out when we're talking about this going national approach. Basically, the Patients Program is taking what we've already done here in West Baltimore over decades. So we've had the experience of patient-centered outcome research, patient engagement. We understand that. We know the connectivity between the community members and between researchers is very, very, very important and essential to doing proper research. That's having a seat at the table. Going national is we're taking that special recipe and we're spreading it, doing that beyond the Baltimore walls. We're not leaving Baltimore. We're not going anywhere. We're just taking this and going in different communities. My question to you is, Brian, what advice would you give me, patient engagement, community engagement specialist, when I'm going into these different communities to kind of have them understand what the Patience Program is doing and how it can be of impact to their community.
Thanks, Ryan, for the question. Before I get to that, I do want to say that, you know, now that the Patience Program has gone national, from my perspective, I do see it continue to expand and evolve with the patient networks and communities that it serves in Baltimore and across the United States. I do believe that people with disabilities are a priority for the Patience Program with their outreach efforts and also a champion for advocating for people with disabilities in healthcare research. And I do want to say that individuals with disabilities has always been a vital part of a healthcare system. And I know that the Patience Program fully recognizes this from both a cultural and healthcare perspective. You cannot just establish an effective relationship without walking in someone's shoes, right? You have to get to know a community. You have to put yourself out there. Each community or patient population, it's different. And that is also something that many researchers, organizations don't really see, is that they think that with the helicopter research approach, every community is the same or every population is the same. That we both you and I know that is not true, right? So it's really about putting yourself out there, and it takes a lot of like time and to really get to know a community, but also it really takes a lot of active listening too, right? You have to build that trust, you know, to gain confidence, you know, of those that you're trying to serve or engage with. And, you know, trust, it takes time, right? It doesn't happen overnight. And that's something that I learned in the academy, is that trust, you know, it doesn't happen, you know, just in one night or one day. It happens over time, you know, it really does. And it's always about just continuing to learn and just humbling yourself as well, because like I said, you know, each community is just different. You know, everyone in the community is just different. Everyone or community has, you know, have different needs, right? And it's not the same for everyone or every community or patient population. So it's really about engagement and active listening and just putting yourself out there and walking in the shoes of a community or patient population, I would say.
Thank you for the advice of being an active listener. Thank you for the advice of have the ability to walk in someone else's shoes, another community's shoes, because those are the efforts and the energy that we're going to need when we take this thing on national, because we are authentic and we want to build those relationships between communities, between researchers, in order for research to be done the right and effective way. Again, Brian, I appreciate the time. As always, blessings to you and your family and other members out there on the West Coast who are dealing with those wildfires, and I'm sure I'll be seeing you soon. Brian, thanks again. I appreciate it.
No, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure for me to contribute and give back to the Patience Program. I do want to say that I speak very highly of the Patience Program. Everything that you guys do in the Patience Program is truly amazing, inspiring, and phenomenal. So keep up the great work, and thank you so much for allowing me to be here today.
Thank you for listening to The Bridge, your health, your voice. To learn more about the Patience Program, visit our website at www.patience.umaryland.edu.